What a tragedy that you live all your life thinking one way, believing something. You die and you stand before Jesus thinking that you're going to heaven and you're not. Because you based your life, you built on something other than Christ Jesus, who is the solid foundation. There are a lot of people who build their lives around religion. They build their lives around relationships with their wife or their family or their education or their career. People can build their life on so many things that are good things, but they're not God things. You see, there are a lot of people who are sitting in a church pew or church chair thinking they're going to heaven, but really aren't, because they've missed the mark of basing their life on Christ Jesus. One of the most tragic things that I as a pastor share, and I shared this with you last week, and I'll say it again and again, the most tragic things is that I preach Jesus Christ and that you accept something less than Jesus as your Savior. You accept a Baptist church or a Catholic church, a Pentecostal church or Methodist. You choose whatever denomination. You base your relationship on how good you are or how good of works you can do or how much you can give. Or listen, all those things have a place, but that's not the foundation you want to build your life on. Have your Bibles turned to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 29. Matthew Henry said, "It is possible for people to admire good preaching and yet remain in ignorance and unbelief, to be astonished and yet not sanctified." So our reaction can be very different. We can like good preaching. We can like great Christian music. We can like worship and still not accept Christ as our Savior. We begin reading in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is on the hillside bringing a conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because he had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into action is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught with one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to see and to read, just to catch a glimpse of this sermon that you brought out. How it applies in 2018 to each of us. To test ourselves to see where we're in the faith of Jesus Christ or we settled for something else and we've missed it. Oh, Father, today I believe there are a lot of people who are claiming Christianity who've missed it. There's no desire, there's no fire, there's no fervency, there's no urgency in their life brought on by the Holy Spirit. There's no obedience in their life to you. Father God, today by your Spirit, Lord, dig through all the layers that we've created for ourselves. Get to the very core of our being. Test us, God, to see we're in the faith of Jesus Christ or not. In your name we pray. Amen. Listen, I stand before you with this burden. Because here's what's here's what's really going on in the, my thought processes. As I preach, and going on 15 years of pastoring here, is that I stand like on this line between, listen, I want to preach hard, I want to preach Jesus, I want people to love Jesus, because he is the only foundation for our salvation. And in saying that, listen, I don't want people who are religious, who've walked an aisle and been dunked and going out there and who think they're saved, but they've based their relationship on something else besides Jesus. I don't want them to believe that they're saved when they're really lost. But on the other hand, I don't want people who are truly saved, who base their life on Jesus, to feel that they are lost. So there's this dilemma, you know, it's like all I can do is preach the word. Now, Holy Spirit to deal in your life, to break back those layers of whether it's been religion or trying to be a good person or trying to do good works, whatever you've based your salvation on, if it's not Jesus, then you're lost. It's that simple. Jesus says this. So we begin reading and looking and seeing in this passage of Scripture a few thoughts. Jesus says, talking about being a doer of the words, is the first thing we see is that faith is hearing and acting on what you hear. Verse 24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. So when we accept Christ as our Savior, there needs to be a change in our life. There's going to be a difference in our life. We're going to begin to notice it. Listen, all things may not disappear. All those old bad habits may not go away right away. But Lord, the Lord's working on them. He's cleaning us up little by little. He's cleaning our life up. He's forgiven us of our sins, and he's washing, and he's cleaning, and he's cleansing us to be more like Christ. None of us have arrived yet, okay? None of us have arrived yet. But in the process that the Lord is bringing us, this sanctification, this cleansing, getting rid of the things that God doesn't want in our life, to put things that he does want. Jesus, coming to the conclusion, his great Sermon on the Mount, says, therefore, meaning that, listen, all the things he said from Matthew 5 on, he's holding them accountable to assimilate in their life, to bring about fruit in their life. He said, take all these things that you've heard me say and take them, take this truth and incorporate it to your life. See, Romans 10, verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We cannot accept Christ without hearing the Word of God. It may be through preaching, it may be through teaching, it may be through a song, but the Word of God is coming to us, and we place our faith in Jesus, not just what that song says, but we're placing our faith in Christ. So faith comes by hearing. Faith is your trust in God. It is you growing in your relationship with Jesus with your obedience and application of God's word. Good works can never save us. And that's what we've layered on for so many years. Many people I speak to says, I ask them, you know, when you die, are you going to heaven or not? They say, well, I think I will. I've been a pretty good person. Wrong answer. If you're not basing your salvation in Christ and Christ alone, then you've missed it. You've missed it. The reason Jesus died on the cross is because we could not be good alone. We could not be good enough to go to heaven. If we could, then Jesus wasted his time. He suffered for nothing. We could just be good people and get there, but we cannot. We're depraved. We're broken. We're buried in our sin. The Bible says we're dead in our transgressions and sins. But Jesus saves us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So we can't work our way to heaven. Grace is a gift that's given to us. What do you do with a gift? You accept it. You didn't work for it. Then it's a payment. You can't be so good to earn it. No, it's a gift. A gift is always given to someone free of charge. A person who loves someone else, whether they make it or purchase it, the person loves someone else, so they do this to give to someone else. And all the other person who's receiving the gift can do is say, "Thank you," and put it into action. Make it theirs. Claim it. Own it. That's what we do with God's grace in Jesus Christ. Is all we can do is accept Him as our Savior. Accept His grace. Accept His forgiveness. What He's done on Calvary's cross for us. All we can do is say, "I want that. Lord, would you forgive me?" James 1:22 says, "But prove yourselves by doing doers of the being." Prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. You see, when we have the grace of God and He's transformed our life, we become a doer of the word. In other words, we don't want to just hear a sermon. We want to apply that sermon to our life. We don't want to just read, you know, our devotion, the time that we spend with God alone. We won't just read. We want to incorporate into our life. And not just to grow, you know, big and fat on God's word, but we want to put it into action. Exercising it out there. Be a doer of the word. When we're saved, we're born again, we want to be a doer of the word. See, Jesus and the writers of the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit, adamantly warned us to assure our faith on ground, that it is grounded on Jesus, on the truth of His word. We're saved by Jesus through faith in Him. We cannot claim any merit of our own salvation. We're under grace. Grace is that unmerited favor to the whosoever will, as a gift of God. To whosoever. Listen, Jesus will save the most wretched person out there, the most vile person that we could even imagine. Jesus loves them and died for them too. Jesus died for the person who grew up in church, who never really ventured out there, and He died for the person who's ventured out a whole long and did a whole lot of things that they wish they'd ever done and regret. Jesus died for them too. And the same grace is available to all for salvation. You're saved by faith alone in Christ alone. Not in your good works. Listen, I'm glad you're sitting in the Baptist church. You're allowing me to pastor you. You're allowing me to teach you God's word. I love that, but a Baptist church will not save you. I grew up Southern Baptist, but you know what? I had to come face to face with Jesus and fall on my knees and ask forgiveness for my sin. And I base my salvation on Jesus. You can be Baptist all your life. You can be Catholic all your life. You can be Presbyterian all your life, Methodist, whatever, Episcopalian, Lutheran, whatever you want to call yourself, if you don't come to Jesus simply in faith and receive Him as your Savior, then you're lost. You've based your salvation on being a good church person and not Jesus. From Scripture, we see from Scripture that simply saying we believe and not demonstrating that our faith in Jesus alone, that it's alive in us, then our faith really doesn't exist. So we can say that we're people of faith, but if we're not exercising that faith, if we're not putting it in action, if the faith is not alive in us, then our faith is a lie. Yes, we're saved by faith alone in Christ Jesus, but that faith will produce a change in our life. We are hearers of the word and not doers. And verse 24 says, "Therefore, put into practice the words of Jesus." I love what Francis Chan said. He says, true faith manifest itself through our actions. See, there's something we have to grasp, that our good works and our good behavior and our good character is not what saves us. Those things are actually fruit of what Jesus has already done in us. Our salvation is in Christ alone. We must be disciples who, by faith, plunge into God's Word. We read with it. We wrestle with it. We believe. We test it. We practice His truth in order that these words of mine, as Jesus said in verse 24, lay as a solid foundation of faith in our life on which to build in Christ Jesus. The second thing we see from this passage, we must build on the bedrock of eternity, Jesus Christ. The latter part of verse 24 says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So you have to get the picture of what's going on. So Jesus is on a hillside. He's teaching thousands of people. And in this group of people, there are lawyers, there are scribes, there are Pharisees, there are Sadducees. There's all these religious leaders who knew the law of Moses very well. And listen, practiced them to the best of their ability and taught everyone else who wanted to be in the Jewish faith to practice the law of Moses. Because their belief was, if they got all the law right, all 613 laws, they kept them as perfectly as they could, then they would be righteous before God. In other words, they would be in right standing before God. Jesus is telling them, listen, guys, there's a wise builder and an unwise builder. He's giving them this illustration. He's teaching in this parable form about these two different men who build a house. See, Palestine was known for its rocky terrain and its outcrops of rock that we would be, you know, protruding through the soil. These people were very familiar with the shifting sands that would often blow in from the desert. And one foundation was solid, the rock, and the other would be shifting with the slightest bit of wind and rain. So Jesus begins to give something that they were very familiar with in this building a house upon. The first thing he says, he spoke about the wise man who built on the rock. This wise man would dig down past the soil, past the sand that may be laying on top, to form this foundation on a rock, this bedrock that was underneath. And then he would build off of that. That was solid. The wise builder knew that as the environmental elements of nature changed, the effects would be devastating on his house if he did not build on that rock. So Jesus used this familiar reference with his audience to help them see how their religious practices were not the solid rock on which they based their lives and their eternity. Jesus is helping them say, listen, you want the truth. The truth is the solid rock, and he's referring to himself as being the rock of ages. And he's talking about, build on me. Build your life on me. Because the storms will come. And so he's giving this image of the man digging down to find that bedrock. Now, it may have only been a foot deep, or it may have been 2 feet deep. But find that bedrock to build off of. Because the environmental changes will come. Jesus uses familiar reference to help them see how all their religious practices were not bedrock. They based their salvation and their righteousness on something that God never intended it to be. God never intended for religion or religious practices to be the bedrock that you or I practice lived out our faith and based our salvation on. He didn't want us to base our salvation on being a Baptist. He didn't want that. He wanted us to base our salvation on being in Christ. Call yourself whatever you want to call, as long as it's in Christ. In Christ, the solid rock. Jesus was calling to them to salvation by faith in him. And because they believed in him, they would follow his word. Jesus said, therefore, you know, those who put these words into practice, as verse 24 says, he said, listen, when you're in me, you want to be obedient. You want to follow what I've told you to do. It is the desire in you to be faithful to me. Second thing we see is the foolish builder. Verse 25 says, and everyone who has ears, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Jesus relates this image of a foolish builder who unwisely builds his house on the shifting sands. So the people were very familiar with bedrock, and they were very familiar with sand. And I think we can relate a lot to the sand if you've ever been to the beaches around or even some parts of the northern part of Evangeline Parish. There's a lot of sand. Difficult to build on, and it's not very trustworthy. People of Jesus' day knew about this problem of trying to build on sand and trying to create a foundation of sand. Why? Because sand doesn't compact very well. It doesn't cohese very well to give you something solid on which to put a structure and build a foundation so that you can hold weight on. It may look good and it may look solid. You can walk on it, but it'll compact a little bit, but the compaction rate is not enough to hold a building. And oftentimes people were fooled by that. But he's saying, listen, this sand, an unwise builder would build on sand, because when the winds came, it come up and the waters rise, you're going to suffer a great loss. Jesus used this illustration to emphasize the people who need to be found in faith in Christ. He's trying to help them see that, listen, if you're basing your salvation, you're basing your righteousness with God on this religion that you're in, you're nothing, you're building on shifting sand. When life happens, when the storms come, you're going to suffer great loss. Listen, when you get to the end of your life, if you're basing your salvation on being a good Baptist or a good Catholic or a good whatever, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ and he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, worker of iniquity. Because what we tried to skip over Jesus and just tried to work our way into heaven. We just tried to be a good person. We just tried to be religious enough and go to enough church service, go to enough masses, to go to enough of whatever to be saved. And listen, we find ourselves lost without hope. And Jesus is warning us. He warns us not to base our salvation on the shifting sands of religion or goodness or self-perceived self-righteousness. Religion never, ever makes a person right before God. Never. Not one instance in all of God's word was being a religious person the way to be right before God. Many people trust their own goodness, good works, acts of service, generosity, volunteering, etc., as a means to be good enough to go to heaven. They believe with Jesus and their good works, good character, service, guilty, giving, they can't miss heaven. I heard a man say this years ago. He was in a certain fraternal order. And he said this, and I was shocked. He said, if a man go to church, good to his family, and practice, and he named his fraternal order, he said he can't miss heaven. I was like, oh, you missed it. You missed Jesus. Basing all on what he did, not on what Jesus did. See, salvation is in Christ alone. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. People are trusting something or someone less than Jesus as their Savior, and they're going to end up in hell. They're building their lives on shifting sand that is not capable of providing adequate means to support their salvation. And it troubles me as a pastor when we have so many members of a church and only half show up. What are the other half basing their salvation on? A little prayer? Getting wet in Ville Platte water? That's not salvation. Salvation is Christ and Christ alone. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. Henry Ironside said it this way: Christ is a substitute for everything, but nothing is a substitute for Christ. Max Lucado said it this way: though the Bible was written over 16 centuries by at least 40 authors, it has one central theme: salvation through faith in Christ. I love what John Calvin says. He says, since no man is excluded from calling upon God, the gate of salvation is open to all. There is nothing else to hinder us from entering but our own unbelief. So Jesus gives them this picture of the solid rock that one builder built upon. And he gives us another picture of the shifting sands that another builder built upon. But then he tells us about the storms. See, the storms will come, testing whether we are truly in faith, our faith is in Christ or not. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves. See whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Paul is telling these Christians at Corinth. He's talking to church folks. At the church of Corinth, he's saying, test yourselves to see whether you're in the faith or not. Brother Kevin, I was always taught once saved, always saved. Let's get that straight. It's called perseverance of the saints. Those who are saved will always persevere. Those who are saved will always persevere. Don't wash out what the Word of God truly says. There are a lot of people who miss Jesus because they're basing their salvation on a prayer. They're basing their salvation on getting wet. They're basing their salvation on something else. And they walk out of here, and 6 months later, you don't see them. Now, I'm not judging whether they are saved or not. I'm just seeing whether there's fruit or not. You see, there are a lot of people who base their salvation on what they did. I walked an aisle. I said a prayer. I got baptized. Rather than, I came to Jesus with nothing but my sin. And I asked him to forgive me, and he did. I base my salvation on Jesus alone. You see, when the Holy Spirit fills you, you can't help. You want to be. You want to be wherever God is working. You want to be right in the middle of everything that God is doing. You want to be. You have this desire to be where God can use you. Why? Because you're so in love with Jesus. Jesus tells about the test that rise against these builders' houses. The houses and the foundations were tested the same way, yet the results were different. One house and its foundation withstood the harsh test and troubles. The other builder's house was met with catastrophe. From what we can gather from Jesus' description of these houses, they were very similar. They seem structurally sound on the outside. They use common materials. So from all appearance, this builder built his house, the first who built on the solid rock. His house looked great inside and out. It looked structurally sound. It was wonderful. The second builder who built his house, it was structurally sound. It looked great on the outside. Everything was wonderful. The foundation was where the problem was at. And they couldn't really see it from the outside. Because the beauty of the house looked real good. Beautiful color. All the neighbors admired it and enjoyed it. Came over, had a few get-togethers, you know, scratch the pot a little bit, watch a little LSU, Saints football together, whatever it may be. Both houses look great. Problem wasn't the house. Problem was the foundation. Verse 25 and 27 speaks of the test. Says the rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Verse 25 speaks about the house that did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. Verse 27 speaks of the house that fell with a great crash, God's word says, because a man built the house on sand. You see, in church life, you see me, I see you. We look good. The best we can. You're here at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. From the outside, I would think that you're saved. You got up early to come to God's house. I'm preaching from the outside. You would think I'm saved. So we all look alike. We all are doing fine. We inside and out, and it seems like we're all, you know, we really are all in this together. Problem is we're foundation are we building our life on? See, it was the test that proved which house was secure on the solid foundation. It was a test that proved the flawed, substandard foundation that led to the catastrophe of a man losing his house. It was not that his house was of worse quality. It was not the soundness of his house. The test destroyed the foundation of the house. And when the foundation was gone, the house came crashing down. Listen, if you are basing your salvation on anything or anyone else besides Jesus Christ, the storms will destroy your foundation and you'll come crashing down. So my life seems pretty good. I've got a good job. I've got a good marriage, got a happy family and everything. In the end, when your eyes close in death and you have no ability anymore to cry out to Jesus, what's your foundation? See, the storm hits and there's no going back. There's no crying out anymore. When you stand before Jesus, your eyes close in death, and you're standing before the judge and you're thinking, well, you know, everything's wonderful. And his judgment comes in. I never knew you. The storm has hit. And it washed away what you based your life on. And you come crashing down. Hold a day. What are you basing your life? Who are you basing your life on? Is your life in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation? Not in what you did, but what in Christ has done already for you. You just accept it. Grace is free. Test yourselves. Test your foundation. Who or what do you put your faith in? If you're trusting in anything or anyone else other than Christ Jesus alone for your salvation to sustain you, you're living on shifting sand that will lead to your destruction. You see, when you're in Christ, we don't have to say, once saved, always saved. We're saying we're persevering because Jesus leads us. Because Jesus leads us. You're trusting something else besides Christ. Would you just simply cry out to Jesus today? If you're trusting in your goodness or your denomination, whatever it may be, would you just simply cry out to Jesus? I found this, even this week, it's like I have nothing but Jesus. Nothing. I've got education. I have a great church, wonderful family, fantastic wife. I have all those things, but that's not salvation. I have nothing but my sin to give to Jesus. That's it. Would you cry out to Jesus today to save you? To save your soul? Because you've been basing it on something else. And Jesus is warning. He's giving the cry out today. Test yourself. Would you test yourself to see whether you're in Christ or not? Whether you're basing your salvation on Him and Him alone? Or are you saying Jesus plus my good behavior? Jesus plus my religious practices. Jesus plus my baptism. Jesus plus my... No! It's Jesus alone. And Christ alone. Would you cry out to Him today? He already knows where you are. He already knows what you've done in your life, what you've based your life on. He's saying, get rid of that. Move the sand out of the way. Just get to the bedrock of Him. Build your life on Jesus. So, Rick Griffin, how do I do that? Just cry out to Him. Lord Jesus, would you save me? God, I've tried to do this my own, and I can't do it. But I fall at your mercy today. I fall before you, Lord Jesus. Would you save me? I'm sorry for trying to get to heaven myself. I'm sorry for digging in sand of religion, of goodness, of good behavior, of generosity, of all those. And Lord, I just want to get to you. Would you save my soul today? Charles Spurgeon said it this way. It is not thy hold on Christ that saves thee. It is Christ. It is not thy joy in Christ that saves thee. It is Christ. It is not ever thy faith in Christ, though that be the instrument. It is Christ's blood and merit. Our salvation is what Jesus has already done for us. And we just accept it as ours. He paid our payment. He already paid for your sins. Would you just accept what He's done for you? Not try to clean your life up first and then come to Jesus. Not try to be a better person and then come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And He'll clean your life up. He'll forgive you for every sin that you've ever committed. All of them. He'll clean your life up. And then He will take over and begin to give you a new life. Little by little. Moving stuff out of your world that doesn't belong. Will you accept Jesus as your Savior today? There's a little green card that you have in front of you. I'm going to lead you in prayer. That little green card that's in your bulletin. If you accept Jesus as your Savior today, when I pray in just a moment, just pray and ask you right where you're sitting, just call out to Him. Lord, would you save me? Would you forgive me my sin? I accept your grace. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior, as my payment. And I will live my life for you from this day forward. It's really that simple. Being a disciple of Christ is not easy, but salvation is. Will you trust Jesus as your Savior today? Just fill out that green card and those boxes around those doors. When you walk out, just fold it up, slip it in there. I'm going to call you. We're going to talk. In my office, you can ask me any questions you want to ask me. I've got the answer to some I don't. You know, I want you to have that rock solid relationship with your Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, today, you're so amazing. God, we're sorry that we've based our salvation on our acts, rather on Christ. We base our salvation on a denomination or religion or a prayer or getting wet rather than on Christ. Father, today we just cry out to you to forgive us.